Well, I'm sure all of us have felt lonely at some point. Family breakup, relationship breakdown, losing loved ones, just being in a place on your own, a strange place at a strange time. Now, for the first time, a report into loneliness has shown that almost one in six of us say we're lonely, women reporting higher rates of emotional loneliness than men. Relationships Australia has compiled a report based on data from the HILDA survey, that's the Household Income and Labour Dynamics Survey in Australia, which has been held now from 2001 to 2017. Alison Brooke is the National Executive Officer of HILDA. Alison, welcome to breakfast.
Morning, Fran.
One in six Australians. That's a lot of lonely people. How is loneliness defined in this report, Alison?
Well, loneliness is that subjective feeling that we get. It's a sort of an emotion that's a discomfort. So the report looks at levels that subjective loneliness, but it also looks at the extent to which you are socially connected. So there are two different measures in the report, and our report sort of goes through both sets of data.
So what was the question asked in the survey that you looked at precisely?
Well, there was a single loneliness question, which was about that subjective sense of how you're feeling.
Do you feel lonely ever?
Yes. But the other one is a set of 10 questions, and it's those sort of a bit more objective things. You know, I often need help from people, but I can't get it. People don't come to visit me as often as I'd like. I seem to have a lot of friends. You know, so it's a composite scale based on answers to those 10 points.
And as you looked at this over 10 years, as RA did this study over 10 years,
yes.
What was your key finding? Apart from that bald number that around 17% of Australians say they're lonely, what was buried within those 10 questions, for instance?
Well, it was really interesting. So it's actually over 16 years that this data.
I'm sorry? Yep.
Yes, that's right. And one of the things that really troubles us is that of the people who responded, and if you extrapolate out the weighted population figures, around about, or just under 1.5 million people, around about that number, are reporting that they've been lonely for a decade or more. Now, that's a problem, because what we now know is that there are serious health consequences for chronic loneliness. And that's one of the reasons why we're interested in unpacking this a bit. But if you drill down into the data, Fran, a bit more, whilst overall women talk about loneliness slightly more than men do, some of the figures for men are quite troubling, and there are some real spikes where for males in our population there are super levels of loneliness. Single male parents are very lonely. 40% are reporting being lonely. So that's a problem.
Mm.
Then you've got men who are unemployed, and men who are on income support benefits are very, very lonely.
To what level? Have you got a stat on that one?
Let me just have a look here.
Oh, don't worry. These are big percentages, 40% of single male parents. I can understand for any single parent, it's a very stressful time, and it's hard to get out and be sociable when you're looking after kids and maybe working. So
yes.
You can sort of understand that is a moment in time. But the broader figure of 1.5 million of us reporting we're very lonely, yes, it has health implications. I'll come to those. But it also has implications, doesn't it, for us as a society and the strength of our community bonds. Does HILDA show whether this number has changed or diminished at all? Are we getting better or worse as a community?
I think what it's showing is that we're fairly static over time. The reason why we're interested now is because we're now starting to learn from other research about what those health implications are.
Mm-hmm.
So if you understand that this actually is a public health issue, and then you look at a figure of 1.5 million, you know, who've had this issue over a decade, then you're starting to realise that this is, I mean, we anecdotally know that there's a lot of loneliness and we're quite disconnected in our communities, but now we're starting to understand what that actually means.
And so what does it mean in health terms? What is a clear correlation? Can we say that?
So research out of the US says that loneliness is like, in terms of the effect on your body, is like smoking 15 cigarettes a day. It's also shown to be associated with poor cardio health. It's shown, and in fact, very clearly quantified in some research out of the University of Queensland earlier this year on actually cutting your life short. That's the type of health implications that this has.
So they're also, I mean, the notion of, you know, it's akin to the impact of smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Mm. There seems to be a proven link between loneliness and some kind of poor immune response. Have they understood what that is about?
No, in fact, I think, well, I don't know that data if it's available. What I know is that that there are several organisations, including us, looking at the HILDA data, because what we're going to do next is drill down even further and look for what happened in people's lives in the years leading into their period of loneliness. So that's the beauty of the HILDA data, is that it's this longitudinal survey, and they collect a rich range of information.
Mm.
So I can't quantify that for you, Fran, but I know that what we know is there's a big problem here, and we need to all work together to do something about it and to understand it better first, then do something about
it. Sure. It's 18 minutes to 7. Alison Brooke is National Executive Officer of Relationships Australia. They pulled this data out, studied this data over the HILDA survey over 16 years. That figure of 1.5 Australians that have answered the questions in the HILDA survey over 10 years reporting they've been lonely. We mentioned there's different cohorts that are very troubling: single male parents, men unemployed on benefits. The stakes are high here. The health risks, high suicide risk, for instance, we know that too. But are there age points where the stakes are particularly high, or where the incidence of loneliness is higher? Do people come in and out of it? And is that something we should be focusing on?
People do come in and out of it, but that age group of, especially with men, of 45 to 64, that's the age group that we've got our eye on from this data.
45 to 64 is a particularly risky age group?
Yes, and under that as well, but that's a particularly risky age group.
So I would have thought instinctively that older men and older women, perhaps over 70, might have been a risk group. Is that not shown up?
No, it absolutely has shown up. I'm talking about the absolute spikes where we've got serious problems, but certainly in the older age groups, we've got problems as well.
If is there clear, can you tell from the HILDA survey, I'm not sure how much correlation there is between the answers, of whether loneliness is, for instance, linked to someone losing a partner? So there's a bereavement period that then, you know, life can change dramatically, I'm sure.
Yes. So it's interesting. For the men in particular, but men and women, who lose their partner before the age of 65, they report higher levels of loneliness than those who have lost their partner to death after 65. So you can, you know, if you sort of think that through, you could think that, well, perhaps that was an unexpected tragedy or something that was less expected than perhaps people who have been married well into their later years. So that was an interesting bit of data out of there too.
So, Alison, the takeout from this, as you say, we need to find out the evidence, measure the evidence, because it has an impact on the health and well-being of Australia, and there's an economic cost to that as well.
Mm.
But is there, as I go back to that social cost, is there any takeout in this in terms of actions to, for all those people who've answered for 10 years, you know, I don't get many visitors, you know, I don't go out as often as I like, those sorts of things. Any concrete, obvious policy changes that could change that in terms of networks, I suppose?
So the first part of my answer is we need to know more, and that's why the next bit of research will enable us to do that better. But there are three general principles I'd say. First thing is look after your family relationships, immediate family, extended family. Keep them well, keep them healthy, and stay connected. Lean into the difficult times, because every family has difficult times. Second thing is look out for the people around where you live. People get an enormous amount of deep satisfaction if they feel they belong in their community. There's things that we can all do with the neighbours who live around us and we all know where there are people living alone. Lean into those relationships in particular. Sometimes they're prickly, sometimes they're hard, but even if it's just a wave, even if people know I'm likely to get a receptive response if I knock on that person's door, that's important. So make people feel like they belong where they are. And the third thing is join an interest group. get into the community and join a group. There's beautiful, beautiful research out of University of Queensland saying if you join one interest group, this is going to be the benefit to your health if you're lonely. If you join two, this is how much better you'll be. If you join three or more, you're laughing.
Alison Brook, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Alison Brook, National Executive Officer of Relationships Australia. And if this story's raised any issues for you, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14.